Take your Bibles this morning, if you would. I appreciate that song. I appreciate all the music this morning. What a blessing it has been, and it stirred my soul. And John chapter number 15 this morning will be our text. We have a ring that was found in the parking lot. I failed to mention it during our announcement time. If this is your ring, then we'd love for you to be able to come up and get it. If it's not your ring and you take it, you stole it. All right? So we'll just put it that way. Thank you, choir. What a blessing the music has been today in my heart and my prepared me for the message. And thank you for all the ladies that sang the specials today. They're very precious today, very precious. Think about today being Friend Day, a search for friends, and I've never really wanted for friends in my life. I don't know how else to say it than that. I grew up in a family. I have 24 first cousins, so I didn't really have to go looking real far for a lot of friends, and my family was close-knit and stayed together, and so, and I've always, I don't know, maybe it's just my way and the country people that I grew up around. I've always tried to show myself friendly to others, and so I don't feel like I've been abandoned of all friends, but I still realize that I was lacking a relationship as I approached 15 years of age in my life, and I realized I had friends, I had really good friends that at the drop of a hat, and if I dropped the hat, if I had a need, I can tell you the times at night where I drove later than I should have as a young married couple. I remember at 2 a.m. in the morning waking one of my true friends up and saying, I need you to come and jump my truck. I shut it off at the gas pump on my way home, and I was probably a good hour from home. And he said, what? Can't you just get somebody? I said, I need you to come jump my truck. He said, I'll be there in about an hour. And he climbed out of bed and lost most of his night's sleep, but he was my friend. And you say, well, how do you know he's your friend? Not only because he came, but because he answered the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning. Amen. Not knowing what I needed. And so every one of us could go through and we could say some of the things of what it is to be a true friend. But I know for me that the greatest friend I've ever known is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in the scripture that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And today I want to just mention to you today, you know, that it's not happenstance and we didn't plan it this way, but I believe that true friendship is marked by love. Amen. I believe that to give your life for someone else, and not just in death, but to sacrifice your time and your energy to spend it on someone else is what marks a true friend. And today, I want to preach some, but I don't know how it's going to go today. I just know that what the Lord has done, as I've prepared my heart in speaking about my friend, I know that many times that tears have welled up in my eyes because of what he's doing in my heart and what he's done in me. And so let's pray today before we open and read the scripture and just ask the Lord to meet with us. Dear God, as we come to you again, and Lord, I beg you, and I just want to tell you how much I lack your wisdom, Lord, and I want it from you. God, I want you to use me as your messenger boy to guide my words and my lips and my speech, that it might be the way you would want me to say things, the way you would want me to speak. God, I ask you again to just, Lord, I know that I'm a simple country man, and I know that these people need more than me to speak to them this morning. So Holy Spirit of God, I pray you'd use me. God, I pray you'd go into the heart of the hearers this morning and help them get a picture of the true friend that I have in Jesus Christ. I pray it and I ask it in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning in John chapter 15, and we'll begin the process in verse number 10. We'll begin reading there, but I want you to see this morning that he's begun this process in the chapter of talking about a true vine. And I want to take that as he begins to talk about a friend and say the marks of a true friend. The true vine is the truest friend you'll ever find in this life. I've had some good ones, and I think that every friend can be measured and compared to Jesus Christ. But every friend that I've ever had, no matter how good they are, they always come short of being the friend that Jesus is to me. For one, even though I have had friends that would give their life for me, none of them could give their life and pay for my sins the way that Jesus did. None of my friends had the ability to not only be 100% man, but they were also 100% God like Jesus. So I realized they started off with being in a hole, just like me. And the greatest thing about friends, you know, I don't know about you, but we don't often maybe say I love you to a friend, but in our hearts, that's what's there. When I look at many of the believers in this building that I would call friend, even though we call them brother and sister because we're part of a family, we are born into God's family, I can tell you that I not only have brothers and sisters in the flesh, but those people are my friends. We can look back at times that we have done things together that and we had a bond that was different than anything else. And the belief that being a part of a church and a part of God's work is no different. We have things, even though we're brothers and sisters in Christ, we also can build bonds and friendship that go so much deeper than just spiritually being attached to each other or attending the same service. We realize that if it wasn't for that person that encouraged me at that time, I don't know what I would have done. If it wasn't for them, I don't know who I would have leaned on. But sometimes, just like David, we realize there's one friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We realize that just like, if I could say Joseph, in prison, in a place where it seems that every brother, every person had left them there alone, there was someone there with him. You say, well, Jesus wasn't there like he was for the three Hebrew boys. Yeah, but Joseph had Jesus there too. He called out, and there's no way a man can go through the things that Joseph went through without the Lord. I read this poem this week, and I thought, I'm not given to poems, and I'm not a poet, but I'll do my best to read this. It says, I love you. It says, I love you not only for what you are, but for what I am when I'm with you. I love you for passing over all the foolish, weak things you can't help seeing and drawing out in me all the beautiful things that no one else had looked for enough to find. I love you for helping me to make my life not a tavern, but a temple. Not a reproach, but a song. I love you because you have done more than any mere man creed could have done to make me good and happier. You have done it without a word, without a sigh. They have done it by being yourself. Perhaps that is what being a friend means after all. Sometimes in this life, it's hard for us to define just what a friend is. But a friend is somebody who is there when you need them. A friend sometimes is there when you don't call on them all the time. Sometimes a friend just sees us where we are. In John chapter 15, I want you to read here about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for his disciples and for the believer. And look at verse number 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I commanded you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Over and over again here we find commandments. And one of the things that I just want to share with you this morning that's an observation before we really get into the points of the message this morning is that I don't love, you know, I have a friend that is my wife, and I don't mind getting commandments sometimes because I love her. You know, sometimes she don't mind taking commandments because she loves me. Do you know, we can talk about all the different relationships that can fall under "this is my best friend." But when we get down to the nitty-gritty of a spiritual walk with an almighty God, it should be marked with love. You know, when we get saved and we walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and we call him friend, and he doesn't call us servants here in the scripture, and I may get ahead of myself a little bit, but just let me have this is where I'm getting ready to take off, all right? You hear my tone down in here? Right now, what you ought to hear is the engine's going, woo. You know, that's what's happening right now for me, all right? So I just wanted to put you on point. So I just want you to know everything's winding up. But I just want to remind you again that we serve a God, and if we're not careful, even in this passage of Scripture, we'll miss all the wonderful things that Jesus Christ has said to us because we stopped at commandments. So many times people believe that commandments don't have any place in relationships, but every true friendship or relationship was built upon some kind of foundation. It was built upon some common ground or something, and the wonderful thing about the Lord Jesus Christ is he is a rock that never changes. He's a foundation and a friend that every time we come back, the commandments have not changed. It's always the same. It's always going to be that same person that we meet. And sometimes if we're not careful, we think everything ought to be grace. But what I found in my friendships and in my relationship with my wife, with my relationship with the Lord, his commandments are not grievous to me when my love is right. I don't hiccup. I just like it. I don't want to get too far off of pace, and I'm afraid that I will. But just let me say this morning. In a marriage relationship, sometimes it's so much better when you know exactly what's expected of you. Sometimes in a work relationship, it's so much better when you know exactly what's expected of you. If they just say, "I this is what I expect." Do you know why God lays out things that, not because we have to do these commandments for him to love us. He loved us anyway. When we were lost and broken and out in our own sin, when we had enmity between God, when the commandments were already there, God loved us and saved us and brought us into his family. But the way I show love back to him is keeping his commandments. Too many times, this friendship goes one-sided. You say, "Well, I'm in God's house today, preacher." Amen. You're keeping one of his commandments. You're keeping one of the things that God expects of every one of us. And that's a notch that we can say, "Man, I'm showing myself to be a true friend." I just want you, if you spend your life trying the Lord Jesus, at the end of all your days, you will be able to say, he is a true friend. He never left me. He never forsook me. He always supplied my needs. He took care of me in the low places. Even when we leave this life and we get in heaven, boy, that footprints in the sand, the poem there. There are times in our life where we feel that we've been neglected, but all along God was carrying us through those terrible times of our lives. But as we measure him, listen, I just want to make sure you remember your side of this friendship's being measured too. The commandments are not these things that are so gripping or are his love is, you know, these things are contingent upon him loving us. He loved us before we were ever measured by the commandments. But now that we're in the family, I can measure my love for him if I keep his commandments. Folks, too many times we look at it a wrong way. We come at God and we think God is just a God. He wants this and he wants this of me. He requires all these things of me. And I don't want to have to deal with this anymore. Hey, how do you think that friend that sticketh closer than a brother thinks about you sometimes? Thank God he's a merciful God. Thank God he's a God that every time I come back that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because there are times I've tried his patience. Hey, don't forget you tried his patience too. Don't be so holier than thou that you think you were always where you are today. Don't be so holier than thou that you don't think that you are still in need of that true friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what a blessing he is to our lives. And for me, this context in this chapter is love and joy. He comes through. We must abide in him. It's a relationship. The earlier part of the chapter is about a true vine that we have to be in and stay in. It's a relationship. He tries to take the grapes and the vine and the fruit that comes of the vine, that it has to stay in ever, to be fruitful, to grow, to have the relationship and the joy that every one of us so want to enjoy in the life. But we don't always want to stay in and be the friend that we ought to be to him. We don't want to fulfill all these things that are contingent upon our joy. You say, what do you mean? I'm just telling you, you can't go out and live like the world and have joy. When you got saved, you left that foolishness and came out of there wanting to get saved. There are some of you that are so young and you've grown up in the church, you don't know what the world has to offer. And you think that if you went out on the other side of the fence that it would be better. But I'm here to tell you, it's fun for a season, but misery will follow. You think it'll be better if I get outside of these commandments. If I could make decisions for myself, you can make decisions for yourself, but the end of those decisions don't end up with joy. The commandments of God are to hedge us in, to hold us up, to keep us close, and to give us joy. Why? Because God loves us. The law never saved anybody, folks. All it ever did was point us to somebody that loved us. And even in this, on this side of salvation, when I try to measure myself and to live godly in this present world, when I fall and I scrape my knee, I look up to heaven and realize that there was a heavenly Father who sent his son to die and walk that walk for me. And when I have failed, I couldn't keep the law. And the law was never the measure of salvation. But if it was, I couldn't have kept it if I wanted to. Hey, folks, my heart's desire today is to present you to a friend to help you realize, those of you that have been saved a while and would say, that's my friend, I want you to take notice of your relationship. I want to measure your side of friendship. See, Jesus is, his marks, his measurement, it can't be measured. We can't find all his grace and how gracious he is a friend to us. We can't measure the depths of his love. We can't realize how great the joys of the Lord are if we would just walk and be with him. We can't know all those things on this side of heaven, but one day I'll know as I'm known. And I'll realize, and I'll look back at this life, and I'll look at all the joy that I could have had. And I'll realize if I had just walked a little closer, the misery that I could have been spared of. I could look back at the things and realize that all it would have been is to draw closer to the truest friend that I ever had if I just walk and talk with him on a daily basis. I believe the marks of friendship are simply this. Look at the scripture with me this morning. And we see that joy and love marks. In verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus says, I'm not asking you to do anything that I've not done. What a friend is that? Hey, I mean, I've had some friends in this life that, you know, they ask you to come to their house and change their baby's dirty diaper because they don't want to. And maybe because I'm a friend, I'll do it. But not most of the time. But anyway, I mean, you know, I mean, there are some things a friend will ask of you, maybe because they don't know. I've had some friends call and ask me, septics. And I don't know septics. Now, I don't know how much they don't know, and I don't know how much they decided that, you know, I don't want to put my hand there. I'll call Brother Parsons and have him put his hand there. Hey, folks, I'm just here to tell you, sometimes when we measure ourselves, listen, I'm thankful that I've had some friends and I've been able to go help. On a Saturday afternoon, during the middle of the week, on a rainy day, when the house is backed up, one of the things I knew about plumbing was that was never going out of style. People are always were going to continue to use that trade. Amen? But I know this, you know, when I called, I had a friend that called me and he said, man, I don't know what happened. It just stopped. Could you come? And somebody had shown up at the house with a moving truck, and I think they had bought a bed, and they backed across the front yard and crushed the distribution box. Now, I could have used my Saturday in so many different ways, but I spent my day with my friend digging up his distribution box and changing it out. You say, well, why did you do that? Because I loved him. Do you know love gives? You know what I found about that day? You say, well, that's what you do on a daily basis, yeah? But my friend asked me to come. How much money did you make? I didn't make much money, but he was my childhood friend, and he called upon me. He could have called a lot of different people, but he called me. And you know what I got to spend my Saturday doing? My friend stood there with me, and we had sweet fellowship while we dealt with this problem. Do you know what my sweet friend from heaven does every time that I have a need? And sometimes it's because of my own doing. I can call upon him and he shows up. Doesn't matter the day, the hour, the time. And I have sweet fellowship with him. Even though there's something broken in me, even though there's something that I need repaired, he shows up and helps heal and bring me back to a place of joy. What a friend that is. Look at with me. He says, this is my commandment in verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The first mark of true friendship is sacrificial love. I'll say that again for you in case it didn't sink in. The first mark of true friendship is sacrificial love. In this life, it's, you know, whether it be a friend that you hang out with, what do they do when you call upon them? You say, well, I have friends. Well, I mean, how many of them make excuses when you call and say, I need something? Instead of giving. Instead of being there. Instead of measuring it. You know as well as I do, there are people who are acquaintances and there are people who are friends. And you measure your friends by their sacrificial love. When the rubber meets the road and you need somebody, who comes when you call? That's how you measure a true friend, by their sacrificial love for you. And let me just tell you, friend, there's a friend that sticketh closer than the brother. There's a friend who, when I needed him most, when the cross of Calvary stood between me and heaven, when there was no way, I had a friend that stepped in even before I knew him, before I loved him, before I had accepted him and become his friend. He left heaven and came to earth for me. And he laid down his life in hopes that I would befriend him back, and that I would take his payment of sin, of payment that he paid for me that I couldn't pay. Listen, that same Jesus came from heaven and paid a payment for me on Calvary of sacrificial love. Too many times we measure our life and we say, oh, all these things that I've done. But when we get to heaven, our life will first of all be measured by what we've accepted as our friend. Do you know that the whole separation between the world, the church, the world, and the saved is all about what we did with Jesus? It's all about what we did with his payment on Calvary. It's all about, did we love the lover of our soul? You realize in this life, sacrificial love, you know, what would you do with sacrificial love? I know in Romans chapter 12, turn there with me. Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, he has never seen these people face to face, and he's trying to admonish them to love the lover of their soul. He knows that he's heard of their salvation. He's heard of their walk with God. He's heard that they love them. And he writes to them, beseeching them to do something in their lives. You say, well, what do you mean? I mean, it sounds a lot like a commandment. It sounds like a lot of beseeching going on to do something that maybe would be sacrificial with your own life. You know, when I see Jesus and I want to be more like him, the one who laid down his life for me, if I'm going to be a friend to him, then I have to lay some things down, don't I? I have to be sacrificial in love back to him. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I do not have time to preach the will of God this morning. I am preaching about friendship, but let me tell you, if you really wanted to be the friend of God, then His commandments are simply measured by His will, and we're to do His will. How am I supposed to come to God? I'm supposed to come to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him. As a living sacrifice, what does that mean, preacher? It means that God does not expect you to give your life for Him. He gave His life for you. He expects you to lay down your will, your wants, your desires, and be a living sacrifice for Him. You say, preacher, He wants my life. Absolutely. What friend doesn't want to spend time with you? What friend doesn't want to measure life? What friend doesn't want to have that? I'm not talking, see, we too many times, we measure control when God wants to have guidance in our lives. You know the will of God in our life. Look at this. He says, which is your reasonable service. That means that it's holy, it's acceptable, and it's reasonable. It's not crazy to serve God. It's not crazy to be a living sacrifice. It's not crazy to be the friend of God. In verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world. See, our argument is always that God is going to confine us. But the difference is when we try to leave God's good, joyous life that He's built for us, we go confine ourselves to the world standard. We go put ourselves in the worldly box. That's why the world out there today is ear-ringing themselves up, because they want to be different or just like the rest of the world. That's why they're tattooing themselves up today, because they want to be just like the rest of the world. You say, well, do you think that's wicked? No, I think there's something inside of a person's life. If they want to make their body a billboard for everyone else to see, there's a lack of fulfillment inside of them that's trying to express itself on the outside. But if they could come to a place, you say, well, you don't believe that people that got tattoos are saved? No, I'm thinking people can get saved with tattoos. People that got earrings can get saved. But I realize this, if they were walking and knew the friend that I know, that friend never directed me to mark my body all up. That friend that I had made me feel like I was his own and loved me, and I didn't have to earring myself up to get to a place where I felt fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Hey, folks, we can go on and on and on in the debaucheries of this world. I don't have to leave the natural use of the man or woman to feel like I'm fulfilled. If I know the lover of my soul, if I know the true friend, Jesus Christ, I don't have to search the confinements of the boxes of this world. And if you don't know better, the world is constantly drawing new boxes to find fulfillment. But fulfillment is found in the Savior. Fulfillment is found in Jesus Christ. Fulfillment is found in the true friend that I found so long ago. And if I'm going to find fulfillment, I find fulfillment in surrendering to His will and His way. Often in this life, we think that we have a Savior who loves us but wants us to do things that we don't want to do. When He is the Maker, He's the Creator God, who put us in this church with this set of parents, with this set of grandparents, when this book, and has superintended our lives enough to say, what is the will of God for my life? I want to renew my mind by transformation. I want to know what this book says and let it transform me from the inside out. And once I know and get my mind on page with God's mind, all of a sudden now God's will becomes good for my life. I realize that what God wants for me is best and will bring me joy. I then realize, after I realize God's will is good, I realize that God's will is acceptable. That means I can accept whatever comes my way. God is not going to direct me in a place that would hurt me. God's not going to direct me in a place where I could lose. God's not going to direct me in a place that I will be left, but that He will be lifted up through my life. It's acceptable. And then beyond that, I don't know about you, but when I was a little kid, I didn't dream about a half full glass of life. I dreamed of a perfect life. One that, and listen, my life, my perfect glass wasn't what you looked at. You know, I mean, I dreamed of some things of what I thought was the perfect thing. But even what I set up in my heart was what surrounded me, was my influence. Do you know, when I started to read this book and God's will, I started to think about my life totally different. And what a perfect life given in the service of Jesus Christ would really look like. And it shaped and molded my mind into a place where what in the past I thought was the best thing wasn't the best thing anymore. And today, I'm going to be as honest as I can be. I don't live in the town that I grew up in. I don't have my family surrounding me. And those were some of the things that I always thought was perfect. But I stand today in the perfect will of God. Amen. And I can tell you that there's more joy than if I get to see them. I get to call them. I get to be in touch with them. I never knew that I'd be able to see my daughter hundreds of miles away on a phone. Do you know that same thing that the devil uses for wickedness and horror, God uses for good if I let it in my life? God's will is so much better than I could ever think. You say, well, what do you mean? What is next? If look at verse 11. Go back with me to John. God's will is so acceptable. It's so good. It's so perfect. If I would just come to him. God says here in John chapter 15, in verse number 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Amen. The commandments and the will of God are not set in place to hurt us, but not only to give us joy, but that my joy might be full. Too many times we measure things the way the world would see them. Look at verse 14 with me. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. The second mark of true friendship is obedience. Do you know, if I had a friend that did something I didn't like, I'd say, friend, would you stop doing that? And if they were my friend, they wouldn't do that around me anymore. Hey, folks, you know what I'm talking about. I've had friends in this life that were my friends years and years and years. And when I got saved at 15, they continued to be my friend. And the more that I was transformed by the renewing of my mind, the more our basis of our friendship grew apart. But because they were my childhood friend, I was still their friend. But sometimes the measure of our friendship was, hey, when I'm over here working on your truck with you, you can't listen to that music. I can't listen to that anymore. Hey, when we're together, I don't want you to talk like that. Sometimes that will separate natural, earthly friends. But I had some true friends in this life that met the requirements of my life. And while I was there, they were obedient to the things that I asked of them. They're still my friends to this day. They don't live for the Lord. They don't walk with him. They weren't ready to accept the Jesus that I accepted. But if I called them today and told them, hey, I need your help in Haines City, they'd pack their junk up and come down here because they're my friend. Hey, folks, I had a friend that came from heaven. He was at the obedience of his Father. He came from heaven and died on Calvary. He didn't just, listen to this, he didn't just come from heaven. Look at what he says in verse number 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you. You know what I realized as I started to search out this friend? I realized that he chose me first. Do you know, I can go back to my grade school years and I remember some of the true friends that I've made in this life. And I remember sitting back and marking this person and said, you know what? I'm going to be his friend. I'm going to be a friend to him. Do you know what Jesus has done for us before we ever knew him, before we ever loved him? He chose us before the foundation of the world to be born again into the family of God, to be a true friend to us. the world hustles and bustles right now and drives all about. Some are going to Disney and Universal. Some are out on the water with their boat. Some are all over the place. And they have no idea that a holy God chose them before the foundation of the world to be saved and loved to him. They have no idea that they have the truest friend. You say, well, they don't know him. That doesn't mean that God is still not the best friend that they've ever had. And that he wouldn't accept them the moment that they called upon his name. As we sit in this place today and as believers, one of the greatest opportunities of our lives is to realize that the third mark of true friendship is that I didn't choose this. Someone else chose me to be my friend. Someone else chose me before the foundation of the world. When I begin to measure my salvation and my relationship with God, it overwhelms me to realize that God chose me when I was in my sins. When I was unthinkably compared to God, my righteousness was filthy rags. When God chose me before that foundation of the world, I had nothing loving or beautiful inside of me. Okay. Folks, I don't know about you today, but when I measure my truest friend, it is a person that sacrificially loved me, that in obedience to his Father's command came to earth, lived a perfect life, laid his life down so that I might live and so that you might live. And when he rose again and took a seat, he didn't stop serving. He didn't call me servant. He said, friend, if you'll call upon my name, I'll be the truest friend that you've ever had. If you call upon my name, I'll save you. If you call upon my name, you escape a place called hell, but I'll give you a place called heaven. Hey, if you just leave that old world and the things behind you, the happiness you think you know, I'll replace your happiness with joy. And it won't just be any joy, it'll be joy that it might be full joy. You can experience a life that God has prepared for the believer that can't be experienced in the world. It can't be experienced as a lost man. And then I think about my life, and I want you to measure this. The true marks of a friend, some of the greatest friends that I've ever made in this life were people that I chose at a gas pump to tell them about my truest friend. Amen. Were people that I chose to live a separated life and live the commandments of God out in my life. I did it to please my friend, but I realized that God used my life to make a friend and to change their life. This room is full of people. And if we were to go back in our life, I can go back far enough to tell you someone who was a friend to my uncle. He knocked on our door. He didn't know who was going to be on the other side of that door, but because of the friend that he loved, he knocked on that door and he shared his truest friend with that person. And my uncle answered the call of Jesus Christ and accepted him. And he changed his world inside out. And listen, the reason I got to hear about Jesus was because someone was a friend to someone else who in turn shared that wonderful friend with me. If you're here this morning as a believer, there are so many more friends to be had. If we would just be the friend, if we would be the kind of friend that Jesus is to us, to this lost and dying world, it would change Haines City. It would change Polk County. It would change the world. It did in the life of the apostles. It did throughout the scripture and throughout the ages. When we get a hold of how great a friend we have in Jesus, it will turn us inside out. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I've done my best today to share with you the truest friend that you could ever have. The only thing that it takes to accept this friend is to put your faith and trust in him. To realize that he is the Son of God who came to earth and paid for your sin and my sin and then rose again on the third day. If you believe and trust in him and call upon his name according to the scripture, he'll come in and be your friend too. He'll be the truest friend you've ever had. He'll not only, listen, the Bible uses this terminology, you will pass from death unto life. God will give you eternal life, something that no one else has a hold of, because he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man will come unto the Father but by him. This morning, as a believer, I pray you've been encouraged to be a better friend to the lover of your soul. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, today is the day of salvation. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until next week. Don't wait until this evening in this church service. When given the opportunity, the invitation that we have in this place is an invitation to receive the true friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? As the musicians come, let me ask you again, if you're here and you know Christ as your Savior, would you just do that by slipping your hand up and say, he's my true friend. I know him. I know he's my Savior. Would you put it down? If you're here and you don't know Christ as that Savior, if you don't know him as a true friend, you're not saved and on your way to heaven, would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know Jesus the way you preached him this morning, but I'd like to know that. Would you slip your hand up, one anywhere? I don't see a hand this morning, but if you're like that, when the music plays and Brother Burt begins to sing, why don't you meet me in the front and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. As Brother Burt sings, I'll ask you to step out and do what God has asked you to do this morning.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me this morning and pray? If there's someone here today that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, would you step out and come? We'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. I know that this morning we preach much about Jesus Christ and friendship. But to be able to become the true friend of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first commandment or the first step is to accept him as your Savior. To believe and put your faith and trust in him. And if you've not done that, then I ask you to do that. Maybe you're here and you've been in this church, you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, but you've never joined the church through baptism or just by moving your letter from another Baptist church. Listen, whatever God is speaking to your heart, you say, well, preacher, the hour is late. Listen, folks, I beg you to pray. The hour has come that people need to be saved. People need to do what God has asked them to do. As Brother Burt sings and heads are bowed, why don't you step out and come and do what God has asked you to do this morning?
Just as